This is Help Wanted, the show that makes your work work for you. I'm Jason Pfeiffer, editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine.
And I'm money expert Nicole Lappin. On Tuesdays, Jason and I answer the helpline and help callers solve their work problems.
And on Thursdays, I give you one way to improve your work and build a career or company you love.
And it starts now. Trisha Carey, welcome to Help Wanted.
Thank you, Nicole. Great to be here today.
So you are the chief commercial officer for Renewcell. It is the darling of the circular fashion world. Can you tell our listeners a little bit more about your background and what circular fashion is and how Renewcell comes into that?
So my mission in the work that I've been doing is to drive innovation and responsible fiber development for textiles and apparel. And my career has been more than 25 years working in the global textile business development and marketing area. And over the past 10 years, I've been working on developments that are specific for circular fashion. And that's where we're reusing materials in order to give them a new life. Because it's surprising when you think about it that it's actually less than 1% of all textiles are recycled into new textiles. And that leads me into what Renewcell is. And Renewcell is a textile recycler based in Sweden. And what Renewcell does is they take cotton textiles and take it down to the molecular level and then reuse that cellulose in the cotton in order to make a new textile. And ultimately, what we're doing is replacing the use of trees. And so this is really a new innovation. It's a very exciting area to be in.
Sounds so interesting. Actually, before I ask you the first question that I have about Earth Day and what companies should do, I'm just really curious. Where do the textiles come from? Like what is being recycled and broken down into the molecular level?
Yeah, the textiles are coming from manufacturing or from post-consumer textiles. So we have our industry jargon a bit, but post-industrial textiles are those from cutting rooms. There's always extra material that's not being used. And sometimes that's up to 15% of waste that comes out of that process. And also post-consumer waste as well. So when you put in your garbage bag for a charity to come pick it up, some textiles are resold, some garments are resold, but others are then used in this process that we're developing. And there's a lot of other innovations that are coming into this space.
Oh, so does that mean I'm now hijacking this for my own personal guilt over throwing socks away is what we're going to talk about for the next 30 seconds, which is I wear these holes into my socks and then I throw them away. And I always hate that because it's like, this sock is 98% good. It's just that there's a hole in it. Should I be dropping that kind of stuff into a donation bin because it'll just get weeded out from all the stuff that's worth being reused and it'll just end up in the kind of system that Renewcell is doing?
Jason, it's a great question. And yes, you could put that in that bag that you're disposing of, and it will be then sorted out and it would be used then for any kind of textile recycling. And so please do recycle your socks, your old towels, even if it's after you use them as a rag, it's going to get to be used somewhere else.
That is awesome. As someone who's just generally obsessed with recycling, that is really great. Okay, let's talk about what you're actually here to talk about. So, Trisha, we are taping this ahead of Earth Day. And you know, I know a lot of brands feel like they're supposed to be doing something on Earth Day. And the low-hanging fruit there is to just make your logo green for a week or post a photo of the earth or a tree or a child in a stream or something on your company's Instagram. But for companies who, you know, who haven't committed themselves to sustainability as perhaps they should, is that worse than doing nothing at all?
Well, there's a fine line between that greenwashing. It should be activities that a company is doing on an ongoing basis. You know, little capsule collections of making 10 hoodies isn't going to move the needle. So while we all have to be invested in this in order to make this systemic change that the textile and apparel industry needs to transform, I think the activities need to be genuine. And so how do you know if they really are genuine? It's if the company has a strategy based off of lowering their environmental footprint. And that could be circularity, it could be greenhouse gas emissions, it could be fair standards and labor practices. So I think first and foremost, they need to have that built into their own strategy and goals.
Yeah, I mean, where's the line between it feeling performative and greenwashy and authentic? I think a lot of companies face this for different holidays, like to feel genuine about Pride Month or Juneteenth. I mean, Earth Day is the same challenge for a lot of brands, and they sometimes step in it. So what would you recommend brands do instead in order to do something more meaningful and less performative for Earth Day?
They need to have this as a strategy, and they need to start to measure it. And so once they can put some metrics behind what they're doing, it's not just one day, but that they're looking at that on a regular basis.
I mean, does everyone though have to put something out about Earth Day?
They don't have to, right? I think they just look at it as another day on the calendar to give them that marketing initiative and push that they can do. But they're probably better off if they're doing something genuinely, doing something for the environment, talk about it on another day. It's a very crowded space on Earth Day.
Yeah, right. That's the irony of it, is that you create this moment where everyone's supposed to be focused on this subject, which is great. But number one, if they're only focused on this subject on that one moment, well, that's not very useful. The point of this isn't to just do a song and dance on one day, right? The point of it is to care about this all year round.
I guess before a consumer can buy from a company that they believe has a small footprint, the company has to figure out whether or not they have a small footprint first.
Yeah.
And how do they do that? Like, I don't know what M&N's footprint is. Like, what would you recommend doing looking internally at manufacturing or energy or supply chain or transport, or how would you start?
There's a lot of tools that are being developed now and used, and it is now mandatory in Europe. And there have been a couple of instances where brands are being called out for air shipping. And I think since the pandemic, a lot of the issues of the fashion industry have been surfaced. And we also never really paid so much attention to logistics of the supply chain. And let's face it, you know, the clothes that we're all wearing, majority of them are not made here in the United States. The shift of the global textile and fashion industry around the world. So, of course, that footprint has gotten larger. And unfortunately, how the industry has been working is chasing the lowest cost producing country. Right. And so when I started in the industry in the mid 1990s, majority of textiles and apparel was still made here in the United States. Now we know so much is being made in Asia, a lot of that being made in China specifically. There's actually enough clothing currently produced now to clothe the next six generations. That's insane.
I mean, and we all have statistic, way too many clothes.
Yeah. Way too many clothes. We all know it, right? And the accessibility of it has just increased.
We only wear
like five things, and Jason only wears two pairs of
shirts. That was exactly what I was going to say. I was going to say, this validates why I own like five shirts. I'm very, very proud to wear the same thing for 10 years in a row. Trisha, when we hear from companies who are maybe catching up on sustainability, where it has not been a core part of their brand or their focus, something that they often say is that they're going to commit to doing a carbon offset. For everyone who has heard that phrase but has absolutely no idea what it means, can you break that down for us?
So looking at the carbon footprint is key. We all see this across different industries, right? But the textile and apparel industry is seen as one of the largest polluting and contributing up to 10%. Companies, when they're trying to measure their carbon footprint, the main thing they have to do is reduce. It's all about reduction. But they also have to look back at their suppliers and what they're doing. If they cannot reduce, then the next step should be for offsets, for carbon offsets. And this is, again, something that will come up for Earth Day. And with an offset, what it is compensating for the fact that you have these carbon emissions within your supply chain, and you're working then and you're giving money to fund another initiative that's happening where you can reduce the carbon there. So it might be planting trees to offset your carbon footprint that you have within your shipping. So offsets have a purpose, but reduction has to happen first. And offsets are there because right now we're working globally, not only within the textile and apparel industry, but within other industries too, on setting up the right systems to get to that net zero 2040 or 2050. So that's where offsets come in, because the system right now doesn't work on its own to lower the carbon footprint that exists.
I mean, what's the impact of that? And it sounds like there's probably, you know, this is a noble effort, but a lot of scams out there around measuring this stuff.
Yes, there are a lot of scams. And that's where, again, the multi-stakeholder organizations, NGOs, and even media, this is where we need the watchdogs to make sure that it's a level playing field. Because again, as a consumer, you want to make sure that you're making the right choice. And if you really dig through many of the companies, you'll see within their sustainability strategies, which if you're a publicly listed company, you have to report on that. And those sustainability strategies will set up the reduction of carbon. And you'll see that now they're starting to indicate where exactly they're starting to do that reduction.
Here's another thing people will hear a lot about on Earth Day is commitments to planting trees. We shall plant 1,000 trees. We shall plant 100,000 trees. Does this make a difference?
It does. Of course, this has to be done with a reliable and legitimate organization. But again, first, there needs to be as much reduction as possible. So it's kind of like if you say you're on a diet, you're going to have a salad for dinner, but then you go and eat the 7-layer chocolate cake, right? You have to have the right balance in what you're doing.
I do like the cake, I have to say. Yeah.
Yes.
And what for the fashion industry specifically, if we could double click on fast fashion, what have the problems they've created been, and are they just proliferating and getting worse?
It has been getting worse. And when you look at it, there's 100 billion garments that are produced every year. 100 billion.
Wow.
I mean, Jason, you just have your 5 shirts. That's great.
Yeah.
But
that's all I need. Tell them to stop. I don't need all that. I just need the 5.
Just need the 5. That's it. So the 100 billion garments. And of that, 20% of garments are never even sold. When you go into a retail store and you see all the jeans stacked high and the t-shirts and the garments are so tight you can't even move them, don't you question to yourself, where is it all going? Mm. What happens to all of these garments?
What's the answer? Where is it all going?
Well, eventually, and people have seen many of these pictures, it winds up in clothing markets in the global south. Or you may have seen those garbage patches of textiles. Mm. And so we've been in countries in the US, Europe, have been exporting our waste to other countries. And this is happening at an extremely alarming rate. And what's also making it very difficult is that the quality of these textiles and garments is much lower. So it's making it harder to do process and recycling. So we have to really redesign the system, putting in better materials so that they can be recycled. And even that garments can last longer, you're going to start to see legislation too around repair of garments. You see resale opportunities that are much easier. I mean, resale used to just be garage sales and Salvation Army. But now, I mean, you look at resale, it could be ThredUp, The RealReal. Those are all very accessible on your phone, organized. I mean, I was in Soho a couple weekends ago at the RealReal store, and there's a line outside. I mean, this is great when we can keep garments and products in circulation as long as possible. But when you think about what's happened with fast fashion and even ultra fast fashion, this is just going too far, and it's happening at a pace that just we can't keep up with on the planet of where is it all going to go.
Are there other environmental impacts to consider? You know, a lot of what you just said there was about the materials, just the absolute surplus of material that's out there. But what else is there to consider when we're talking about fast fashion? Shipping, manufacturing, so on?
Shipping, manufacturing, the labor. It's coming at that cheap $5 t-shirt is coming at a cost to someone somewhere, right? Labor rates, when we look at in developing countries, in Asia and Southeast Asia, are so low, someone is not getting paid fairly for that. I mean, now you go to get a cup of coffee and it costs more than it does for a t-shirt. There's something wrong with this. It's fundamentally broken the way that the industry works within that level of fast fashion and ultra fast fashion. So besides the impact on the planet, it really is what's happening to people, and how are our labor rates fairly monitored. And, you know, definitely industries need to develop in other countries, but how can it be done in a way that it is fair for everyone?
Trisha, unfortunately, the good guys don't always win. We were so bummed to see the headline that RenewCell just filed for bankruptcy. Can you tell us what happened?
Yeah, it was very devastating to reach that point.
Stick around. Help Wanted. We'll be right back. Nicole, have you ever thought about the one that got away?
Jason, I am happily in a relationship. You know that.
No, the hire that got away. Someone that you thought was perfect for your team, but they were already with another employer.
Oh, well, in that case, yeah, I think about her all the time.
Well, it's not too late. You can reach out to that person on LinkedIn. LinkedIn Jobs helps you hire professionals that you can't find anywhere else, even people who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place.
Okay, looks like it's time for me to shoot my shot.
Do it. And I know you may have your heart set on one person, but if you do want to open it up and post a role to a bigger applicant pool, you can do it for free at linkedin.com/help wanted. And because there are so many professionals on LinkedIn, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within just 24 hours. So you'll never have a one that got away again.
Incredible. That's linkedin.com/help wanted.
Yep. LinkedIn.com/help wanted. Terms and conditions apply. Happy hiring ever after. Welcome back to Help Wanted. Let's get to it.
The RenewCell launched in November of 2022. RenewCell is based in Sweden, publicly listed company, and had spent 10 years on developing this technology to launch a production at a scale of 60,000 tons. And a variety of different things happened all at once, which led to this bankruptcy. So one was that there really wasn't enough time to bring the commercialization. We didn't have the right finances to support for a long enough runway. And quite frankly, there wasn't enough brand demand coming through. And so this wasn't getting everything moving fast enough. So without the time, we couldn't meet all the expectations of the market. And the systemic change that needs to happen within the industry to address textile recycling is really being challenged. And so there's been a lot of conversation since the bankruptcy, the end of February. And I think, you know, it's hard because being in a company, when you do face this level of a failure, it's how do you then move forward and how do you learn from the mistakes? Because it's even a bigger mistake if we don't take the lessons forward and support the industry overall. And that's really where we're at right now. We are looking for a buyer. Expect that to be announced within the coming weeks to keep the technology going, which is very important. And now for the suppliers, as well as for the brands, to really step up and make sure that this change happens.
Let's unpack some more of those lessons, because This is a really interesting and difficult challenge. Brands should be more sustainable, but being sustainable is not easy. It's harder to run that kind of business. What you just said is evidence of that. So how would you tell brands to think about reconciling what should be done and the great challenges of doing the right thing?
For brands, and we were working a lot with mass retailers, and we did trials with H&M, with Inditex, Levi's, Bestseller, which is a retailer out of Europe, PVH, which has Calvin Klein, Tommy Hilfiger. I mean, we're working with some major brands. They definitely have the ability to impact at scale, which was also our mission. What we have been discussing with brands is how they can develop further their plans. And within that, they do need also some support in order to make it happen, because they struggle if it's not cost neutral. And this is fundamentally a problem in how companies are being measured, right? Publicly listed companies are measured quarter after quarter on sales and earnings. Does the financial industry look at their sustainability reports? Are they penalized if they don't meet their goals? So it's the capitalism that exists for how these retailers and brands are measured, which of course is then how each designer and production team is also measured. They're measured on the fact that they are making sure that the margin points are there. So what does it mean then for the planet? And what does it mean for then, you know, the 118 million euros that was invested to build the production facility that we built? And so, you know, some of the other learnings were for RenewCell being a publicly listed company made it very difficult to grow and to, as a startup, very hard to be public. Where does the financial community need to continue to invest within this industry? And what time frame will it take until they see returns? Managing expectations of what is the role of a large global enterprise versus a small startup?
Yeah, what are the financial incentives that they can do? It was just tax day. I mean, individuals can take credits for energy efficient upgrades to their houses and solar panels and buying electric cars. Shouldn't there be something like that for businesses?
There should be.
Fashion specifically?
There should be for fashion, but there isn't. There isn't right now. And that's where we all have to get around the table at the same time and come up with the solutions together on this. Because one company trying to build into it, and you see smaller retailers who are so sustainably focused, you know, there's a big struggle right now in the market, but there are not the incentive programs. When you look at what was done to bring EVs into the market, there are tax credits for consumers if they purchased electric vehicles. There isn't that system built yet within what we have in the United States. In Europe, there's EPR schemes. France has been very active lately in coming up with ideas for taxing on fast fashion, $10 or 10 euros per garment. Those are the kinds of initiatives that are needed to really move the needle.
Yeah, it's interesting because as Nicole brings up taxes, that is funding the public sector. In a way, I feel like this conversation about fixing these large issues sometimes feels like a bunch of different segments of humanity pointing at each other, meaning like, it's your thing. You're supposed to fix this, right? People point at government. You should fix this. Government points at companies. You should fix this. Consumers point at everybody, and then everybody points at the consumers, right? If the consumer wasn't buying the $5 shirt, then there wouldn't be a market for the $5 shirt. I know that there's no one answer to this and that ultimately everybody has to work together, but I'm curious where you see among this division, private, public, consumers, who can, should take the lead, where you see these parties all working and moving together.
Yeah, I think, Jason, there needs to be a higher level of education for consumers to understand their buying power. Certainly, public sector needs to really address this further. There are legislation that is proposed. New York and California are leading. But of course, you can have legislation, unless if it's monitored and enforced, it's not going to change anything. But the timing of all of this happening will be key. And certainly private funding needs to happen. There's a lot of funding now going into AI and tech and those areas. This market of textiles and apparel isn't always so attractive for investors, but this technology change that's happening within innovation of textiles, materials, even machinery of how garments are being made needs that funding. It is a $2.4 trillion market. There is a need for investment, and there certainly is the return that can come out of this. It's just a longer time frame to get that return.
Before you go, Tricia, this has been so informative. Can you share one tip that we can all do on Earth Day to do something good for the planet? We've talked a lot about things that companies say. Are they useful? Are they not? How complicated this all is. The average person listening right now, what should they do?
Well, one simple step that they could do, even your small closet, Jason, that you say that you have your five shirts, is go clean out your closet. Every time I clean out something, I find a treasure. And if it's no longer a treasure, give it away to someone else, donate it. So, you know, getting away from buying more, it's not about consuming more. It's looking at what we already have. And as we said, Nicole, there's our closets are already, we have plenty of clothes in them, right? So I would say take the time to do some cleaning.
Well, I will give someone one of my shirts and then I'll just have four.
But no one wants your socks, Jason.
Help Wanted is a production of Money News Network. Help Wanted is hosted by me, Jason Pfeiffer.
And me, Nicole Lappin. Our executive producer is Morgan Lavoie. If you want some help, email our helpline at helpwanted@moneynewsnetwork.com for the chance to have some of your questions answered on the show. And follow us on Instagram @moneynews and TikTok @moneynewsnetwork for exclusive content and to see our beautiful faces. Maybe a little dance?
Oh, I didn't sign up for that.
All right. Well, talk to you soon.